For those of us who are parents, if I say the baby has arrived, what does that recall for you? Any memories that of relief? I don't know, joy. Jesus, what's that? Oh, Jesus has arrived. The baby is here. So welcome everybody on our Christmas Sunday, and one of the ironies is that the theme that I picked up from the scriptures and such were that that nature responded to Jesus' arrival, and I don't know what a rainy day means in terms of nature's response. But at any rate, here we are together. Are there any announcements? Okay. All right. I will invite you to join me in the call to worship. I will read the regular print and invite you all to read the bold print. In the piercing cry of a baby, the blind, naked cry of a human soul entering the world for the first time, God comes to us deliberately vulnerable and unclothed. And as the service goes on, I've got a couple spaces for readings here that that would have space if anybody has a reading you'd like to share. So our first song goes with the lighting of the Advent candles, and I think the Morgan family will light our candles. And this is in the handout, which is sometimes it takes a while for the light to take hold, doesn't it? It just does. But we have our beautiful Advent wreath lit. Full, and the one in the center, Jesus, is with us. So I found a different reading about shepherds as I was going through old Christmas articles and such. This is from the Denver Post from 1996 when I lived out in Colorado. And I wish I'd found it for last Sunday because it's about Christmas Eve. But It's called A Lonely Tradition by Steve Lipscher. On Christmas Eve, Johnny Bello will cook up some rice and small pieces of mutton in a frying pan, tune the radio to a Montrose country and western station, and eat dinner from a plate in his lap lit by a Coleman lantern. As twilight fades into deep purple and then blackness, he'll throw a chunk of raw coal into the stove. That helps ward off the chilly wind that perpetually whistles through the quarter-inch crack in the door of his home, an 8-by-14-foot box on wheels known as a sheep camp. And I want to invite you to just listen for any themes from our Bible stories that we're familiar with that might be showing up in this. At times like this, the modern-day shepherd can't help but wonder about his family in Peru, a young wife, Rebecca, their 2-year-old son, Christian, who will be spending their second Christmas without him. "I try to keep busy and not think about it too much," Bello said quietly in Spanish. "I miss them." In the wide open pasture, far from any kind of settlement, only the Colombian sheep bleeding nearby and a couple of nervous herding dogs would hear Bello's lament. By 8:30 p.m., he'll turn off the lantern, slide into his sleeping bag on the bunk, and drift to sleep, awakening about 3 a.m. to stoke the fire again. The only thing that will make Christmas Day different from any other day for him is when his boss swings by with a small gift, warm gloves maybe, or a hat, and a special meal such as a game hen and some kind of sweets. As the afternoon shadows deepen, Bello, once again alone, will round up the wide-ranging sheep for nightfall. Back in Peru, his whole family takes part in raising a small band of sheep. "Aquí es muy diferente," he said. "Here, it's very different here. Here, we're by ourselves more, and there, the women do all the sheep tending." Bello says he enjoys the work. There's not much heavy lifting, and the job is not as physically demanding as crop picking done by most migrant workers. Among their duties, the herders gather and move sheep and serve as land managers, field veterinarian, and most important, guard. He keeps a rifle in the corner for the coyotes and bears. And there's one other quote I'm trying to find here that I'm not finding. Oh, hailing from poor Latin American countries and the Basque region of Spain, today's sheep herders toil in the most solitary of Western outposts, throughout the windswept rangeland of Western Colorado, the high desert of Utah, and the alkali flats of Nevada. A lot of guys are being imported from other countries to do this kind of work because there isn't anyone here in the U.S. who really wants to do it, said Sandy Snyder, executive director of the Colorado Wool Growers Association. So in the Bible story, there were shepherds together, and this includes a story of how they get together to herd the sheep across the range. But imagine being in your lonely field with some sheep and some strange visions appear in the sky. That gave me an evocative feel for a bit of a shepherd's life today. And in that agricultural vein, there's a song that I've been enjoying this Christmas season called A Stable Lamp is Lighted.
About that when I was feeding calves when I was a little girl. But
Now, let's do some singing. So the first song is What Child Is This?, which also has this foreshadowing. And Matthew, as we will see next Sunday, has the tears and pain, our teardrops represent the pain of the world. And Matthew just keeps it in the mix, the pain of the world with this good news. And so... this is a song that does that as well. Let's stand. 1 of the many hymns that used a melody written for secular purposes and turned it into this gorgeous Christmas lullaby. A quote from Harvey Cox, a theologian from the 20th century. "Not to celebrate Christmas would be to concede that bombs and terror are stronger than peace and brotherhood. To toast the integrity of the human community in a time of hatred is an act of faith. And now our confession together. And this is at the bottom of the front page. Taken from Isaiah 63. So I read the bold and you all... Wait a minute. No, you all read the bold and I read the regular print. So we all start together. O God, our God. Asking, when will you see that I love you, that I have shown you abundance, saved you with my presence, freed you from the powers of brokenness? When will we see that when bad things happen, when the world is inhospitable, when you seem absent, you are still present? Help us see you in your humility and in your glory. We will tell of your unfailing love. We praise you for all you've done for us. You have richly blessed us with mercy and constant love. How easily we forget. God, what are we waiting for? And this might be what we're waiting for. Hymnal, worship book number 189. So this is a stand-up sort of song, and we're going to do verses 1 and 2. You can have a seat. And somewhere I've got a poem by Judith Roth of Ventura, California. Was it like this, God, on the day of your birth? Is her title. Those same angels who sing to you, holy, 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 you now hear with an infant's petal ears. And the eyes with which you know the world, all seeing, are now newborn eyes, trying to fix on a blurred piece of straw. You are everywhere, forever, now packed in a doll-sized body that nearly disappears in the embrace of a teenager. Your strength tames the cosmos, all-powerful. And now you can't lift your head from the warmth of your mother's arms. You know more than the universe holds, only true creator. But now you've yet to discover your toes. All right, I want to invite Ollie up to read our Matthew passage.
Matthew 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star as it's rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.'" And Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way.
Thanks, Ollie. So, the Matthew story doesn't have the story of the manger, so we're going to skip over the story. So by the time the wise men arrived, Matthew talks about a house. So they obviously either moved or... At any rate, I would like the kids to come up and come Okay, so you got some stray cats. Jake? And chickens? Yeah. Reese, what do you have at your house? What animals? Two cats. Yeah. So do you have chores with those animals?
Yeah.
Feed them?
We have to eat chickens every day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh. So do the chickens have a house? Yeah. And the cats, those cats don't have a house, but your cats do. They come into your house, right? Yeah. So what animals usually live in a shed or a barn?
Cows, chickens, mice.
Very good, Rosie. Oh, you got it. You got it. So, okay. So there's lots of animals that that like to stay in a building, huh? Yeah, or that it helps them. So we have the... What, can you guys see this back here?
Yeah.
What is that? And what's that for?
Yeah.
What else is it for? What else is it for? For animal food. Yeah, that's for animals to eat in. Yeah. So when Luke, a feeding trough, exactly. So what's usually in a feeding trough? Like say the animals have kind of, they're full and they moved on. What's left? Some grain, some hay? Yeah. Probably not straw. I mean, I don't know any animals that eat straw. I mean, there might be some. But hay, straw's less scratchy, huh? So when Luke said that Mary had this baby, her first baby, out in a barn, and then she put him in the trough where the animals feed,
What do you think people thought about that when they heard that story? Like, why was he born here? What? If he was our king? Yes. I think it's pretty shocking to think that the most powerful, that God, would be born on earth in a place that looks like he's not even being taken care of. Have to be where the animals eat, be laid in the manger where the animals eat. So, well, now, what do you think? That's interesting, though. They might have been kind of curious, huh? Because they had to share their space. So Jordan is going to read a scripture reading of why maybe it happened this way, and then we're gonna look in there. So this is from a letter that was written maybe 100 years later or so.
Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 18. The Good News Translation and the NRSV. It was only right that God should make Jesus perfect through suffering, for Jesus is the one who leads us to salvation. He purifies people from their sins, and both he and those who are made pure all have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his family. He says to God, "I will tell my brothers and sisters what you have done." Since Jesus' brothers and sisters, as he calls them, are people of flesh and blood, Jesus himself became like them and shared their human nature. He did this so that through his death he might destroy the devil and set free people whose fear of death made them slaves. This means that he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way in order to be their faithful and merciful high priest. And now he can help those who are tempted because he himself was tempted and suffered.
So any clues? I know that was a big, hard passage. But any clues as to why Jesus might have been born into an animal barn? That's a pretty shocking thing. Yeah, what's the clue? Any ideas? Well, I think, and we can see what the adults might want to say too. Well, any clues from the adults? What do you think as to why Jesus might have been born with the animals and not in a nicer place? I do have a clue. Well, we'll see if anybody else has anything to say. To identify with us. Of course, and we weren't even, were you guys born in barns? Yeah. You were born in a hospital. I think most of us were, yeah. It was the very last word that caught me, suffering. And not that baby Jesus was suffering, but they might have been cold out there in the shed. Hopefully Mary found a midwife to help her have him. She might have felt all alone and scared. So it doesn't get much more humble than being born in a barn. And that passage, that letter that was written 100 years later, is saying Jesus had to experience what we experience. Yeah. So that to me is the clue. One clue from that book. Okay, let's see what we got in this box here. Charlie, you want to pick something out of there? Let's see what all we've got. There's a lot of stuff. So the stars are for later. You want to pick an angel, and there's also some animals in there.
I love animals.
Do you love animals? Okay, then Jake, and pass it around. You want to pass it around to Sean? So that's a little cow from Mexico. And it's a bell, a cowbell from Mexico. So the Bible tells us that when Jesus was born, also when he died, but we're going to talk these days about when he was born, that nature responded. And so part of that was all these animals that had to share their space. So if you guys want to bring some of the animals up, what are we finding in there? You got a cat? Do you think, seriously, I didn't even know that. So do you think there were cats in the barn maybe? Cats in the little shed? Okay, and let Reese pick. Okay, let Reese find something in there. What have you got? Oh, it's a bunny. Isn't that a bunny? What's that, Charlie? A camel. Yeah. What have you got there, Reese? An angel. So, okay, do we want to put these around the barn? So the camels, baskets. The bunny could come out of the basket. So do you think the shed had cats in it? Yeah, let's get these angels up here. Bunch of angels. Bunch of angels. Oh, yeah. I think that might be... I think it's a deer. It's a deer. Three camels. Those camels are olive wood from Jordan, from a long time ago. Now there's another little animal. Here's a sheep. Here's another angel. Here's what I'm looking for. What's this? Do you think there were mice in the? Yeah, for the rest of church, sure. But you could. Well, okay. That might be. Oh, there we go. What's that? A bunny rabbit. Okay, so, yeah, I don't know how to hang the angels up. We can hang them at the, you know, looking at them. They can sort of hang right there with the star. Stars all together. I like them on the roof too. Yeah. Yeah, is the mouse hiding back in the corner? That star has lots of company. Yeah. So, who wants to look at this cartoon and tell me what it says? Reese, you want to look at that? Jacob and Reese together? No, Jacob? Oh, what are you reading? Oh, I was just reading. Oh, that whole thing?
God for this very day.
Oh, I think I'm... I showed you the wrong one. Oh, okay. Wrong side.
Told the sheep, Jesus is born.
So the shepherds were so excited.
Is that Amy or Amy?
Amy Young.
Amy Young, Hollow Water Reserve Venture Club, age 8.
So the shepherds were so excited, who did they tell?
They told the sheep.
They told the sheep that Jesus was born.
So the animals had to share their barn. Maybe there weren't any cows in there, but I bet there were mice and kitty cats. And yeah. Where'd the mouse go? It's hiding. Well, it's a very smart mouse, isn't it? Hiding from the cat. Very smart mouse. Yeah. Okay. And another part of nature that took part was... Oh, we're all excited about something here. What are we? Oh, the mouse. So, hi. So, okay, what do we got up here? What do we got up here? The star. So the star is another big part of the story. And in the story that Ollie read, what did the star do? What was its role? Yeah, yeah. And what were they riding? Camels. They rode for, I don't know, a couple hundred miles. on camels. Anybody ever ride a camel? There's one with only three legs there. Yeah, I never have either. But I hear they spit. So they're kind of temperamental. Okay, so what else do we have in the box here? We have stars and lots of pens. So I want to ask you all to pass a star out to everybody here and make sure everybody has a writing instrument. And this is for everybody, including you guys, of all ages, to write something that shows God's... The bunny is riding the camel, yes. That is sharing God's light in our lives. And it could be something in the news that we've heard about across the world. It could be something right in our own home, right in our own body. But something that we are experiencing as God's light in this world. Does everybody have a star? Okay, everybody have a writing utensil? Okay. I'll read a reading that I skipped a moment ago. Wise Persons and Epiphany. This is while you write, and then we'll sing The Friendly Beasts and Joy to the World. This is by Wayne Safin. Wise people do not always come from the east, nor do they always follow stars, but they do cross boundaries and pay attention to what is happening in the rest of the world. Epiphany is revelation. Things are hidden in plain sight and made manifest, unobserved except by those with eyes trained to see. Even now, those who are to be rulers on the earth a generation hence are hidden among us, unrecognized. We know not their names or time or place. There is no natural order of succession. God stores up God's own surprises in hamlets
and all the hovels of history. When Messiah comes, stars will know, Magi too, but Herod will not know, and his scribes will be caught napping. When Christ comes again, must Christians too wait for strangers to tell us? Must each epiphany come as a surprise because we weren't watching? All right, so I'm going to ask you to hold on to your stars, and we still have some time before we hang them up, so if another thought comes to you, you can write on the other side of it. And we've got two songs now, The Friendly Beast. Who all knows this song, The Friendly Beast? So, okay. Some of us do. I thought, well, we just had to sing this one today if we're talking about all the animals. And then Joy to the World. So the handout, The Friendly Beast, should be somewhere in the row. Let us stand for number 318, I think it is. Yes, it is, 318, Joy to the World. And
one, two, and four.
Now it's time for our offering. And Charlie is going to play our offertory. And we've got two helpers. Great. Thank you, Charlie. I'm going to invite us to pray. Dear God, here we are this morning, this little band of people who want to love and follow you and who are so grateful that you have arrived on this earth, not in a well-supplied hospital, not with all the care of hundreds of midwives and trumpeters attending your birth, but in circumstances that must have made Mary and Joseph wonder where you were. We thank you that you are with us in such hidden ways, ways that seem so subtle, ways that we have to look for. We ask you to give us your vision, to see you, to see your light. We thank you for all the gifts you've given us, and we return our portion of those back to you for your service. All this we lift up in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, there's another offering prayer. I just keep skipping things this morning, don't I? Well, let's offer this prayer together, the offering prayer. I will read the regular print, and we will all invite you all to read the bold print. Like the Magi of old, we bring our gifts to you, God, with us. They are not gold, nor frankincense, nor myrrh, but they declare our love and loyalty to you. We pray that all we have and do may be used for your service. Amen. I'm going to read a poem called Morning Star by Ann Weems, and then if there's some requests for songs, let us know, and Evan will just accompany us so easily on the piano on those. So we got some space for a couple requests. Morning Star. There are those times when all the stars are torn from our skies and morning will not come. We try to make our way in unlit passages, frightened, desperate, and despairing. We cannot see, for wherever we turn, the night continues. And yet, it is into this impenetrable night that the child is born. Tearing through the seams of darkness, the morning star appears in our eyes and in our hearts.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. So now we enter our prayer time together, and this is probably our familiar song by now, O Long Awaited. And I should say our sharing time, and I need to get my pen. Oh my gosh, thank you. Why am I skipping everything? Yes! What songs do you feel like we have to sing? So we're going to have O Come All You Faithful in a little bit, just so you know. But any songs? 197.
Yeah. Would you bear with me just for a second and let me just read something very brief, take about a minute. Something that I read before Christmas that touched me, and I'd like to share it with you. The incarnate God is called Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us. That fact does not mean immediate festive joy. Our world remains wounded, and war, strikes, selfishness, and bitterness linger. Our hearts, too, remain wounded. Pain lingers. For a Christian, just as for everyone else, there will be incompleteness, illness, death, senseless hurt, broken dreams, cold, hungry, lonely days of bitterness, and a lifetime of inconsummation. Reality can be harsh, and Christmas does not ask us to make believe. The incarnation does not promise heaven on earth. It promises heaven in heaven. Here on earth, it promises something else, God's presence in our lives. This present redeems, because knowing that God is with us is what ultimately empowers us to give up bitterness, to forgive, and to move beyond cynicism and bitterness. When God is with us, then pain and happiness are not mutually exclusive, and the agonies and riddles of life do not exclude deep meaning and deep joy. The incarnation does not provide us with a ladder by which to escape from the ambiguities of life and scale the heights of heaven. Rather, it enables us to burrow deep into the heart of planet Earth and find it shimmering with divinity. We are a long way from being whole and happy, still deeply in exile. However, we need to celebrate Christmas heartily. Maybe we won't feel the same excitement we once felt as children when we were excited about tinsel lights, Christmas carols, and special gifts and special food. Some of that excitement isn't available to us anymore, but something more important is still available, namely the sense that God is with us in our lives, in our joys, as well as in our shortcomings. The Word was made flesh. That's an incredible thing, something that should be celebrated with tinsels, lights, and songs of joy. If we understand Christmas, the carols we sing will still flow naturally from our lips. Thank you.
Who was that from, Evan? Father Ron Holheiser. And now we sing verses 2-4. Of O Long Awaited.
Thank you.
going to cut out a couple parts here. We're going to end with, O come all ye faithful, I think. And what I want to invite us to do is turn around, and we'll, with your hymnal and your stars, and we will tape up the stars while we sing, O come all ye faithful. So, follow that star wherever it will lead you, riding on spitting, hungry, and tired camels, whatever it takes to find, ask, seek, and arrive. Go in peace and the joy of Jesus.